This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, 14 through 16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Hear the word of the Lord in this reading.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Luke, the 21st chapter, 25 through 36. Jesus said, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Hear the word of the Lord in this reading.
Thanks be to God.
And so we begin a new church year with the first Sunday in Advent and the unfolding of our well-loved holiday traditions. These traditions are passed down from generation to generation, and we are very protective of them. Since we are taught that the way we used to do things is the right way to do things, then any suggestion of change must be in the wrong direction, and that's what makes us cranky. Of course, if we want to be honest about it, a lot of the things we once believed to be important were, in hindsight, pretty loopy. For instance, I was required to endure 2 years of Latin studies under Miss Phillips. The none too welcoming Miss Phillips, as I recall. That's why I can tell you that Advent comes from the Latin, Venio, venis, venit, venimus, venitus, veniunt. Miss Phillips would get on me for that. It means to come. Advent means to come. Our education as children was deemed incomplete until we demonstrated at least some facility in a language that is today spoken only in the Vatican and rarely there even then. We had to study Latin, we were told, because so many English words are derived from Latin. Now, the less credulous among us children might have pointed out that a cheap Webster's dictionary would allow us to understand English words without knowing anything at all about Latin, but we children weren't asked things like that. You and I might suspect there was something behind the need to teach us a dead language, and there was. We were made to study Latin because that's the way it had always been done, and nobody wanted the grief of changing it. It was a tradition, and boy, do we love our traditions. A young bride was preparing her first roast for her new husband. She began by cutting the end off the roast, and the husband said, "Why did you do that?" She said, "I don't know. My mother always did that." Well, soon there was a family dinner, and the wife remembered the question and asked her mother, "Why did you cut the end off the roast?" She said, "I don't know. My mother always did that." Well, now it's a mystery, so we go and find Grandma. "Why did you cut the end off the roast?" And she said, "The pan was too short." Following traditions makes us feel placed and safe within them. They're the space in which we live. But if the reasons for the traditions are lost sight of, they become nothing more than idols. We worship our preferences for the way we do things. We can't let that happen to Advent. It's too important. And yet, we do just that. The Christmas season is such a big deal that when I was a kid, my Jewish neighbor, who couldn't very well have a Christmas tree, had a Hanukkah bush for the kids. We overlook the importance of Advent as its own sacred space as we get involved in Thanksgiving and Christmas preparations. We can't view Advent as a time we prepare for Christmas gift giving without losing sight of the real meaning of Christmas. And forgive me for using a phrase that's been kicked around so much that it's had all the stuffing kicked out of it. In the church's understanding, we focus on two things during Advent. A celebration of the birth of our Lord, certainly, but we're also to prepare ourselves for his second coming. Historically, Advent is a time of repentance and reflection in preparation for the coming of the Lord, but we get all jingle bells and holly and overlook that second point. Before we get all tied up in the holiday shopping, as if it hadn't started already, I want to focus in on that question. Why are repentance and reflection our proper response to his birth? Shouldn't we throw on the glad rags and partay? No, we shouldn't. This is serious. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. What will he find? Luke tells us in his prologue that he wants to pass on the truth which has come to him in his research. He isn't looking for confirmation of what he always thought, and he isn't celebrating his own traditions. He's at great pains to indicate that something is going to happen which will fulfill Scripture. Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and of the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. I think the message that Luke is trying to share, something's coming, and it isn't what you expected, but it is something to be welcomed, needs to be heard. Your redemption is at hand. It is up to us to be worthily prepared by clearing the decks of our preferences to worship our own expectations and traditions, for that is what we do. Kathy and I watched, Christmas with the Cranks, yeah. And they had decided to give up Christmas. Well, the whole neighborhood came down on them like the Vandals on Rome. I mean, those traditions, you had to put Frosty the Snowman out, and you had to do this, and you had to do that, and trying not to do it just drove everybody in the neighborhood nuts. That's the way we are about our traditions and our way of doing things. We worship them as idols. When we worship our traditions as idols, we look forward to the end times as confirming our good opinion of ourselves. Luke is telling us to guard against that, for it is truly heretical. Indeed, it can be argued with some success that the story of Jesus' time on earth, as told by the Gospels, is in large part consists of his treading on traditions to bring about the new covenant. I'm not seriously arguing that there's anything inherently wrong with jingle bells and holly, and I'm certainly not proposing that we give up our family time and the joys of Christmas giving. I am suggesting that beneath it all is coming change, and that the discipline of claiming the name Christian says that we must undertake serious preparations for it. So the coming of Advent brings with it conflict. Conflict between the traditions which define the space within which we live and which give us a sense of comfort and safety, and the change that is coming as we welcome the Son of Man coming in a cloud. Indeed, we could even say that the cloud represents our confusion over where our loyalties lie, and not be far from the truth. The historic understanding of the church, which characterizes Advent as a time of reflection and repentance, is intended to help us focus on that vital duty. Jesus says, "Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." I cannot think of a single thing to add to that. Amen. Please join me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And God's church said,
Amen.